Well, if you have your Bible tonight, I'd ask you that you turn to the book of Luke in chapter 2. We'll read a few verses here about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 4 through 7. We want to consider the thought of why Jesus came. Why Jesus came. I have three simple reasons, and we'll get into those here in just a minute. As we start reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 4. Here the Bible says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for each young person who has participated in the Christmas program. And Lord, we thank you for your word and for each person that has made it here tonight to watch the program. Now, Lord, we just pray you'll bless us as we look into your word these few short minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have the Christmas story. It's in a few different places in the Bible. And here in Luke, we see the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because he was not from Bethlehem. If you know Jesus, he's known in the Bible as Jesus of Nazareth. But they had to pay their taxes, something we all enjoy doing every April 15th, don't we? And so they had to do that, but they had to travel a great distance to pay it in person. And so they went to Bethlehem, which was exactly where God said that it was going to happen. Hundreds and hundreds of years before this day, it was told in the prophets that Jesus the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Well, that's a problem if Mary and Joseph live in Nazareth, but God's plan would come to pass. Because God is sovereign. He rules over the universe. And so we may say it's a coincidence that just so happened to be that they were traveling to Bethlehem, but God said that's exactly how it's going to happen, because I have it all planned out. And so we see God's plan being fulfilled, and it says that Mary was great with child. While she was there, she delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. And we know that they were in the inn, because there was, or they were in the stable of the inn, because there wasn't any room for them there. And so he was laid in a manger, as we see so many times. I'm glad we didn't see the real manger, because that probably wasn't a very pretty sight. But nonetheless, that's how Jesus, the King of all creation, the one who spoke this world into existence, that's how he decided that he would come to be a part with man on this earth. And so that is how he was born. But why did Jesus come? If you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at a few verses from this chapter. Jesus, I should say, 2,000 years ago was not the beginning of God. Now, Jesus was God, but understand that that wasn't the beginning of God. You see, Jesus existed before that. But he said that, "I want to be like you. I'm going to spend time living on this earth so that I can know what you go through." You see, God up in heaven cannot experience hunger. He cannot experience thirst or weariness. But he said, "I'll take on a veil of flesh, a body just like we have tonight, that can experience pain, that can experience fatigue and experience joy and emotion and things like that, so that he can say that I know what it's like to live as you live." And so Jesus came to be with men. And we have in God's Word, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accurate recording of his life for us. There's not one single error in the Bible. When it said that Jesus healed the lepers, or he brought the dead back to life, it literally happened exactly as God's Word tells us it did, because the Bible is true. And so what is the purpose for his coming? Is it just a nice, pleasant, surreal story that we give every year as a meaning for Christmas? Is it just there to evoke warm feelings and have us think of thoughts of home and family? Or Jesus come to be a martyr? I think there's much more to the reason of why did Jesus come. Now, the first reason is in fact, Jesus came to this earth so that he could give his life for you and for me. Jesus said it himself, I came not to minister, but to give my life a ransom for many. And this is interesting because God forecasted this would happen hundreds of years ago. And I'm turning to the book written by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 because it tells us how Jesus would die. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Notice this, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Brought as a lamb to the slaughter. The lamb doesn't do anything that is worthy of death. Now, animals are not people. There's a great distinction between animals and people. But the Bible said, as a lamb that's brought to slaughter, as animals for our meat, they go to that slaughterhouse. And Jesus, having done nothing wrong, was pronounced as a condemned criminal to death. Yet he did nothing wrong. God forecasted this hundreds of years ago. And then as Jesus was announced by John the Baptist, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so Jesus was announced as that Lamb that was forecasted hundreds of years before it. And this is also the beginning of the gospel, that Jesus would give his life. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Notice how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Did you know that of all of man's religion out there and the way that they will tell you to get to the afterlife, how to get to heaven, the only thing that's involved with going to heaven is knowing these three simple facts. This is called the gospel or the good news, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. God tells us that is all that you need to know and to believe to go to heaven. It's nothing complicated. It doesn't involve church attendance or giving your money or serving Christ as a missionary in Africa. None of these things will make any effect on where you spend eternity, but knowing these three simple facts will. And so Jesus came to this earth because he said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so as he gave his life on the cross, that purpose number one that he came to die so that he could give us the gospel, the gift of eternal life. Now Jesus, we sometimes call him the God-man because he was 100% God from heaven, and yet he was 100% man just as we are. I'm sure Jesus even had those times when he scratched his head and, what was I supposed to do today? Was I supposed to get the laundry done or this or that? I'm sure Jesus had those times because he was also 100% man. But he was 100% God in that he did things that no other man could. As he spoke to the blind and gave them sight, and as he gave the paralyzed the use of their legs or arms or hands, you see, he was God as well. He was also king. He was also king. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was a title announcing who he was. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now you ask yourself, why would God, the God-man, a king, die? Why would he be pronounced a condemned criminal and put to death when he's a king? That shouldn't happen. Well, the answer is this. And this number two, he came to die, but he came to deliver us. You see, it said that, as I already quoted, Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Because we need to be saved from something. We needed to be delivered from something. There's something that we should not have to experience. There's a place that we should not have to go. And Jesus said, I come to deliver you from that. As we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 22. Let's back up to verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now notice this short phrase, for as in Adam, all die. The Bible also explains this in the book of Romans. It's a sad time when we go to funerals. It's not something that we enjoy doing. You know what? God didn't intend for man to die. That wasn't His plan. It wasn't His plan for suffering to be in the world. But you know what? It says, in Adam, all die. Because Adam and Eve, the first two created beings back in the Garden of Eden, they were given one command of God that they chose to disobey. And when they broke that commandment of God, God had already promised them, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And so they had to experience death, something that God didn't intend for them to go through. And yet that's what had to happen, because they sinned and broke God's commandment. But the Bible also tells us that there is a second death. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14 that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says this is the second death. That's that place that Christ came to deliver us from. You see, just because we become a Christian, it doesn't mean this body won't wear out. But what it does mean is that we've been delivered from a place that God says you don't have to go to. That's a place that I don't want a single person in this room, a single person in the entire world, to have to experience. Because the Bible says the lake of fire, or as we know it as hell, is a place that's completely separated from God. We'll be unable to hear His voice, unable to see His face, unable to fellowship with other Christians who are in heaven. That's a place that God came to deliver us from. You see, it's a serious thing. If it wasn't serious, Jesus, God up in heaven, would not have come to this earth, would not have experienced the rejection of His own people, would not have experienced the crown of thorns, the mocking, the whipping, and being placed on a cross to die. He did it because it was a serious thing, because it's a serious place that He came to deliver us from, a very real place that millions this very night are experiencing, because they rejected Christ. It's a place He doesn't want you or me to go. It also says, look at verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Notice it says, ye are yet in your sins. Jesus came to die on the cross, according to the Scriptures, to be buried and to rise again, because otherwise we are still in our sins. You see, God wants to deliver us from sin. He wants to deliver us from the place that sinners go. He wants to deliver us in this life of sin's grip on our heart. Because we all have habits that we struggle with that God doesn't want us to have. And those habits are wicked, they're sinful. God says, I came to deliver you from that. God doesn't want sin to have any part of our life. And then Christ also came to deliver us from death and hell, but He came to deliver us so that we could have life. Life that never ends. That's something that we all seek to attain. If you have ever studied other religions, you know that's something they're all interested in, is immortality. Well, the Bible tells us there is a way to achieve immortality. Right. And Christ came to deliver us from eternal death, to give us the gift of Christ, gift of God, which is eternal life with Him in heaven. Immortality, the Bible promises to give us. And so Jesus came to die because He came to deliver you. And then to those that know Him as their Savior, He came to direct you. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What God is saying is that as He directs our lives, He gives us a purpose. That's a basic question of man. Some of the basic questions that men have sought answers to throughout time is, where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? What is my purpose in life? Well, the Bible gives you answers to each of those questions. Very good answers. Solid answers. Not shifting sand kind of answers, but for sure, thus saith the Lord kind of answers. We all have purpose in our lives tonight, if we know Jesus as our Savior. Because He said, it's a good work that I'm doing with you. It's a good work that's going to happen until the day that I have appointed for you to come up to heaven to be with Me. Also, on the other side of that coin, if you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, then may I share some news that you may not want to hear, and that's that there really isn't much purpose to life without Christ. All the things that we work for, the money that we strive so hard to obtain, the nice family, nice house we try to build, the nice vehicles we buy, in 100 years it's going to be gone. In 100 years, everything we've worked for will be gone. Our very life on this earth will be gone. And we'll spend eternity and without Christ in a very terrible place. There isn't much of a purpose to life without Christ, but He came to give you a purpose to your life. He says, I've got a plan for you. I've thought of it thousands of years ago in eternity past, and I want you to live it. Because God has a good work, He says, that He wants to work in your life. And our purpose, look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And you know what that verse is saying? A lot of times, the idea of Christianity is, look at all these people that live by all these rules. They can't have any fun. You know what? If there was no hope of heaven, I would agree with you 100%. But because there is eternity to look forward to, and what I do in my life here is going to impact forever, I'm very concerned with how that eternity is going to be. I'm very concerned with how I live my life, that I do as God bids me to do. Because I have 70 years on this life that I am going to reject the things of the world. I'm going to reject the sin and wickedness of man that is enjoyable. It is enjoyable, but I'm going to reject that as a Christian because my choices that are 70 or 80 years long, the length of my life, is going to impact eternity. And you know what? If I know God's Word and I can share with someone else how to be saved, to know the gospel, then I have impacted that person for eternity. They won't have to be separated from Christ, but I can spend eternity with them in heaven. And just yesterday, a sad day for our family because my grandpa passed away and we had his funeral. It was a very difficult time, but you know what makes it easier? I don't have to say goodbye, Grandpa. I can say, I'll see you later. Because he was impacted for eternity, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. When I get to heaven, I know he's there. Amen. That's a place that he is right now. That is a place that I know that I'm going, and I'll get to spend eternity with him. And all the bliss of heaven, you see, the fun of this world, the fun of the wickedness, can't compare with the fun that God has waiting for his children. Right. And so that's why you may say Christians don't have any fun. There is joy in serving Jesus. There really is. But we're working for even greater joy than this world has ever experienced. Even for the kids, this is more fun than you'll ever have at Cedar Point and places like that. There's a lot of fun out there, but it all pales in comparison with what Jesus has prepared in that place called heaven. As I told you, the gospel was three simple things. It says that Christ died for our sins. Kids, listen up here, please. Just a couple more minutes and I'll be through. Okay? It says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You have to believe that in order to go to heaven. That's the first thing. You see, it's our sin that, as I said, separates us from God. We can't have a part of His heaven if we have sin within us. And so Christ died for our sins. He died in our place according to the Scriptures. And it says that He was buried and that He rose again. You see, if He has the power to lose His life and pick it right back up again, He's God. Amen. There's no man on the face of this earth among the 6 to 7 billion living or the billions in the past years of this earth that has ever once raised himself back up from the dead by their own power. After being dead for 3 days, it just doesn't happen. So if there's anybody that can do such a thing, He's God. And that's what the Bible teaches, that He is indeed God. And as He ascended back up to heaven, He gives you the promise that if you believe that He died because of your sin, and you believe that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, then you know everything that you need to know to have a home in heaven. The only thing that's left for you to do is, just as we have gifts at Christmas time, is to open that gift and take it. God has the gift of eternal life with your name on it. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so all that you have to do, and this is what I did at a very young age, is I just prayed a prayer. I said, Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I said, I know that you died for my sin, and I ask you to take me to heaven. It only took probably 2 minutes at the most, but my eternity was changed that day, on February 7th, 1989. And today, December 13th, 2009, can be the day that changes your eternity. Do you believe the Bible? That you're a sinner, that Jesus died for your sin, and He'll take you to heaven if you ask Him to, because He promised it? Then you too can have your eternity changed and have a home in heaven, a mansion waiting for you. And so I would invite you tonight, let's have all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed. All of our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to repeat that prayer in case you didn't catch it. The only three things that you need to know are these. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you mean this in your heart, then you have a home in heaven. Just pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, that I've broken your law. Lord, I know that you came to this earth to die for my sin. And now, Lord, I place my faith in you as my God, and I ask you to take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if that's a prayer that you just pray, then your eternity has been changed. And if you've done that tonight, please let me know. Or please let the pastor know. We'll be ever so glad to hear that. That will be the most wonderful thing of all this work that's gone into the Christmas program. It'll be all worth it if one person has been impacted for eternity. All right, I'm going to pray, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you for making it so simple of how we can know for sure that we can be on our way to heaven. Lord, we thank you for coming to this earth and dying on the cross for our sins. Now, Lord, we just pray that you'll work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.